a new year, a new you, and maybe a new campaign. Start this 2022 off right when making a brand new adventure with our friends at Dragon Rock RPG Design. Give your new campaign some unique looks with new monsters, races, magic items, subclasses, and more. Dragon Rock is devoted to creating content for the TTRPG community, primarily to be used in games of Dungeons & Dragons 5th edition. In addition to their own material, they're always looking to collaborate with other members of the community, whether it be creating custom designs as a commission or as consultants, lending their perspectives and experience to help others develop, refine, and balance material. They have several supplements available as free/play-what-you-want on DM's Guild website or by using their link tree on their social medias. You can find them at Instagram at Dragon Rock RPG Designs and also on Twitter and Facebook at Dragon Rock RPG. Now let's drink some whiskey and react.
Happy New Year!
What the hell? Damn it!
I love it. Reunited.
Hey, folks.
And it feels something.
It doesn't feel good. Wow, I'm gonna think about that this whole session.
Mm-hmm. Hey, folks. This is Haley and Shelby, and welcome to episode 8 of Whiskey Reacts, where we take a look at some of our favorite forms of entertainment while drinking whiskey. Did you miss us? I bet you missed us.
Today we are continuing our coverage of Critical Role's third campaign, and we're getting back into it with episode 8, and I think this is a brilliant episode to start off the new year. Tell the folks what you're drinking.
It's a new year, it's a new me. Today I'm drinking a Blood and Sand cocktail, which is the perfect drink for that edgelord rogue in your campaign party. Of course, it's whiskey. Sweet vermouth, cherry liqueur, orange juice, and garnish with an orange peel if it pleases you. If you're extra like me, you could throw in a cherry. It's delicious.
I love that. I'm gonna start doing my drinks now based off classic D&D characters.
Let's do that.
Right? Listen, folks, you're here to listen to our reactions, but also to listen to us workshop our very new podcast that we're still getting used to.
We're now also mixologists. Yeah.
Woo. I am drinking my favorite whiskey of all time, Buffalo Trace, a Kentucky straight bourbon, very hard to acquire down here in the great state of Texas. I bought a really, really big bottle to last me for a really, really long time. I am drinking Buffalo Trace straight.
Shelby, you're from Texas?
Yeah, I don't know if the folks knew that or not.
Okay.
I am from Texas. I am from Dallas. I am a Dallas Cowboy fan. Just in case no one knew that about me, I just wanted to share that fact. I know
that
I keep
a rare gem of fact.
Yeah. Yeah, I keep some of that stuff to myself.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I just want to share with our listeners that I am from Texas. And I am a Dallas Cowboy fan, if you didn't know.
Yeah, it is the NFL season for both of us. So some of our other non-D&D nerd life might creep in.
It might creep in, you guys. It's getting real close to the playoffs. And me and Haley are very competitive, very diehard fans. So sorry, you guys, if you're not in the sports.
You just caught in the crosshairs.
Yeah, so sorry about that. Listen, we will talk about D&D. We promise.
Let's do that right now. It's been a while. Do I even remember what happened back in 2021?
Do you guys?
I don't. So pardon us as we dust off the old cobwebs and let's time travel with our recap and our react. Okay, right off the bat, because this is now becoming my thing, Robbie's Fit once again gave me life. I immediately went and purchased a t-shirt for the Rogue class from Yanir. I'm hoping I'm saying that right. You can
did
follow
that. Really?
Yes, I did. I already have it.
I put it on my wish list.
It's in my
I'm
drawer.
I'm going to buy one. Oh,
it's
my God.
It's amazing. I got it in black, and I got the gold as Dorian, or as
oh my God, Dorian, as Robbie rocked on the show, all bleeding together. Yeah, I mean, I also always wear black. I have a new long-term campaign coming up where I'm playing a rogue. So I was like, now is the perfect time to represent that class.
Yes. And so also beautiful. I've been following Yanir on their Instagram because of their dice work as well. Just want to shout out to Yanir. I haven't gotten any because like they go quick, you guys, they go quick, but make sure you follow them. Yes. Because it's beautiful. Their stuff is on point 100%, and I'm really trying to get in on one of their dice. It's so really good. Creepy. It's like the black and blue designs, and I've been trying to get it for years.
That is kind of like, that's kind of their like their
that their card. Yeah, they're calling, that's the one I've been trying to get for years.
I love that one. Oh, love it.
God,
you can follow Yanir at _YANIIR_ on Instagram, and on their Instagram account they'll have a bunch of links to like their Redbubble where you can get their class design on a multitude of different types of clothing attire. You can get them as stickers, totally worth it. And just for all the dice goblins out there, drool over just like the quality of their work. My God,
so good. Also, before we dive into the episode, can we talk about the ads by Sam Riegel? Again,
it made me actually kind of want to buy The Witcher Old Spice for the ones that smell
the disgusting.
No, not the disgusting ones.
No, but I want to know, like, did they really do disgusting ones as well? Did you look this up yet? Or
I mean, I did back in 2021, but I'm a different person now, so I don't remember.
You're right. That's a solid excuse. Solid excuse.
Not who she is anymore.
I just wrote, is this real, in my notes?
That's a good question. I mean, for all of his ads.
I want to buy one of the ones that smell good. So good job, well start. Done on the ad. Am I off put and by the bad smells to not want to purchase it? Did the ad do its job?
Yeah. I mean, I thought about buying typically male-coded deodorant. Gender's a fallacy. No one cares.
Or buy what you want. Old Spice, like, though. Yeah.
Buy what you want. Like what you want. Be who you want. Old Spice.
Is that?
I don't think that's the jingle. I tried.
Can you please whistle again? Because I don't think our listeners are going to hear it. Do it again. Chutney.
Chutney, we pick up right back in the alley, who is armed, dangerous, and plot twist, old.
Who knew? Who knew? Again,
Travis coming in. I'm just still elated that we were right that it was a rogue.
Oh, no, we gonna dine on that one for a while.
I will die on that. It'll be on my tombstone. We pick up Chutney in the alley, armed, dangerous, old. Right off the bat, Chutney is not vibing with Dorian at all.
Don't know how that happened.
I like going back and watching the highlights. Like, I was like, oh, did like Dorian do something? No. The verdict is in. I don't think Dorian did anything. I think Travis just saw how funny it was for Dorian to be like off put that someone didn't like him immediately and was like, I'm gonna ride this to the bank.
Oh. Absolutely. Like, at first Chutney was like suspicious of the entire group, right?
And right,
he was acting
so.
Like, oh, very hostile with the first questions, and then he calmed down, and then he like did it one more time with Dorian, and then it just became a thing, and then I was all like, yeah, love this, I'm having fun, we're having fun, and then Travis is definitely having tons and tons of fun right now.
Like, you can just tell life.
Yeah, like, this is, to me, it's so hilarious because you can obviously tell Travis is having the time of his life right now.
Yeah, he's living his best life. Oh my God,
this is reminiscent of Grog, and where, like, yeah, he still has to like think about stuff, but he can go for the laugh first instead of
with Ford. He could not do that.
You know, he had to really think about like his choices and like what he's hiding and like what if I do this
gonna affect the group.
Well, also because he was also the face of the group, so
that's pressure.
A lot of that, being the face of a D&D group comes with a lot of responsibility, guys. I don't know if you know this.
Write that down in your notebook. Take the time right now.
Yeah. So Travis being like, not my job, not today.
Yeah. I'm going to go for it. I'm going to swing for the fences. And he does. But once he kind of comes down, they kind of ask like, okay, like, well, what are you doing out here? Like, he's like, well, I'm looking for my friend, Gurge. Which I did not think was a real name. But I mean, it's D&D. Is anything a real name?
No. If Travis is supplying the name, it's not real.
It's always suspicious.
In campaign whether he three, intends it.
Always sus. Yeah.
If whether he intends it to be or not, it's like, it's not a real name. Sorry, yeah. It's not. Travis, like, because it's either like a terrible, terrible name, or it's just like not real.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mean, the name
those are the two Tenny options.
Pacopee. Like,
Pacopee.
I'd like to submit evidence A, Chetney Pacopee, as an untrustworthy name.
The way he screams it, too. I don't trust anyone who screams their own name. Sorry. Pacopee. also, loving this trend that after every, like, kind of like arc/big fight, we're heading to the Spire by Fire and drinking drinks on the balcony.
It's just gonna be like cheers by the end of this, like, time that they're here in the Spire.
Hey!
Pretty much. So they go to the Spire by Fire, and then you decide that Laudna and Fresh Cut Grass are gonna play, what was it, Good Wilder, Bad Wilder. Yeah, and Fresh Cut Grass is Bad Wilder.
This is what we needed, folks.
Yeah. So he tries to investigate and intimidate Chetney. And I mean, I think Travis was like, oh, like, kind of caught off guard by it. And was like, I don't, like, playing along, like, yeah, this guy's crazy. What happened to him? He was so nice earlier to me, and now he's being kind of a dick. Like,
yeah. Chetney was all like, oh, was this just like how they're so unpredictable, you know, and they switch like that on a dime with you, and then all of a sudden he's like telling FCD, well, if you use your chainsaw like in different ways, maybe it's more intimidating,
it'll be more effective,
instead of just, you know, running it again and again, and then, you know.
So I mean, who
slam it on the table.
Yeah, who would have guessed it? That wasn't effective. The rest of the group just joined.
Or that Laudna would not be like a good Wilder, just up front. Like, you're scary, ma'am. Like, you're nothing scary about you.
Yeah.
Nothing about you like invites me to share my life with you. Because I feel like if I don't divulge a secret, you're gonna curse me.
Yeah. And my family for generations to come.
Yeah, right. It's like gonna be like Rumpelstiltskin vibes here. Like, if I give you a secret, you're gonna take my firstborn.
Yeah.
So, like, from the bat, we'll work on it. SEG Laudna, we'll work on it.
We'll work on this little like dynamic duo vibe you got going on.
So good.
So the rest of the group eventually joins when Fresh Cut Grass asks for, like, he goes, Ashton, like, totally hit the dead end. So they all come up. Have a few drinks, kind of figure out, suss out what's going on.
And asking Chetney the questions. Kind of riddling him, honestly.
I would. The way Travis is playing him, I would, and I'd have no shame.
Yeah, but like, it's just like, it's suspicious that someone would stay for the grilling.
Oh, yeah, I agree.
Like, you're just, like, I know you want something from these folks, but just to sit down with these absolute strangers who are asking you a tumultuous amount of questions.
Mm-hmm.
Why are you putting yourself through this?
Yeah, you must be desperate, or as a player, you know you're gonna die eventually. You're like, this is just another burner character,
right?
Whatever.
I forgot what they said, but they're like, well, you know, why don't you just like go then? And he's like, oh, all right. And they're like, oh,
no, come back. Yeah,
for the plot, you have to stay.
Yeah. So they find out that a multitude of things. Our favorite line from this episode, when he's like, Dorian, anytime he asks a question, why are you so mean to me?
Broke the cast.
Yeah, the whole table.
Travis especially head in the face.
Sitting next to him. I love that they're sitting next to each other with this dynamic.
So good. So good. Right after that, this was like one of my favorite parts, but it was like insignificant. It was like when Imogen speaks to Chetney again in his head and he freaks out, but also when he's communicating back, he makes this like little head movement and like moves his lips a little bit to like indicate that he's not speaking in his head instead of just saying in her Imogen like hears in her head. Yeah. So now I need the entire cast to do something to signify that they're speaking to Imogen inside their head. Like instead of just saying like in Imogen's head, she hears. No, I need them to like denote it somehow. Like to do a like maybe a little dance with their body or with their head, like a little head movement,
a little quick shake,
or like a quick shake, like like at the like a quote, like when people put like quotations,
you want them
up
to
with their hands,
indicate when they're starting a start quotation and an end quotation.
So like they do like so they do this when they start to like Imogen, did you see that mysterious shadow that just passed behind that corner?
I had to stop drinking because I knew I was going to watch you do that and I was just going to choke and die mid-recording. R.I.P. me.
They need to do something like that. I need every single one of them to find their own little niche.
Little quirk.
Because this isn't going to stop. Like, Imogen as an aberrant mind sorcerer isn't going to stop talking to people in their heads, even though she might do it less because of, you know, what people have said. But she's not going to stop doing it. So now, instead of people just saying like, well, you know, Imogen hears
blah,
this
blah,
in her
blah,
head.
Blah, blah, blah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I want Lana to be like big old bug eyes and just look at her and be like, I realize this is a podcast that you cannot see what I'm doing. Cool. Cool.
I didn't even catch it.
I did.
What do you think they thought about when I did my head shakes?
Well, D&D is all about theater of the mind.
So you guys imagine the head shake and then the bug eyed stare. You got it.
Yeah, whatever you're thinking, it's correct. So they find out a little bit about Chetney, that he used to work with furniture, switched to toys. He kind of bonds with Lana over being crafty and is from Uthodurn in Wildmount. They kind of like pick around in almost a little bit of a slightly tongue-in-cheek meta way of like, well, who did you used to work for? Because they all know who Chutney worked for, but they don't know who Chetney worked for. Yeah, so I thought it was kind of fun for them to try and figure out Chetney without confusing him with Chutney, who they played with in the Christmas one-shot, the Christmas one-shot. But yeah, in terms of payment, Fern suggests, like, I just want a toy, because he's willing to cough up like gold. And Fern's like, no, I want a toy. And then everyone's like, yeah, okay, cool. He's like, really?
No, yeah. No, I would have wanted a toy as well. By a master craftsman, aka MC of woodworking.
MC Chetney. I'm sorry, but fuck that. I want gold. I'm surprised that Laura
Bailey. You don't want a toy?
No, I was surprised that Laura Bailey's like vexed senses.
How often do you get a toy?
I can get a toy whenever I want. I can find a trinket.
Absolutely.
Roll for a trinket.
No, this is something special, something handcrafted. Oh, no. But at this point, with another PC, how much are you actually going to get? It's not like we're saying toy or 500 gold.
I'm that player who's like, you're going to give me your gold, even though we're on the same team. Like, give me your gold. You said you're going to give it to me.
It'd have to weigh. Like, I'd have to weigh my options here. Do I want a unique, special toy that means something to me and I can put in my inventory and then put
it? Never use
like,
it?
I get it. But I'm one of those people who are like, give me something to decorate my imaginary room with and I'll do it, you know? Give me something to put in my mansion.
Your headquarters?
Yes, thank you. See, you get it. You absolutely get it, Haley. I don't know why you're acting like you don't get it. You get it. You understand.
No, I am
give
utilitarian.
Me something.
I am utilitarian to us both.
Give me something to put in my little corner of the headquarters, like my little station, mm-hmm. where I put on my armor and like and I have my swords in yeah. armor. No, yeah. I'd mention it.
No, I'd mention this it. Is also just a difference of like RP style. I totally get it. Yeah.
But I still feel like you're probably one of those people who would go balls to the wall in describing how your space looks, though.
Oh, 100%. Right? I'm a yeah. hypocrite on that. Yeah.
Amazing.
It's a new year and I just have to take a better look at myself and figure out who I am. So yeah, I am 100% a hypocrite on that.
Glad to hear.
Me, the one who has like 20 pages of backstory and being like, and then their mom one time went and did this. And I'm like, you want a toy to flavor up your room? That's stupid.
It's wild.
Who would ever think of that? So as they're discussing being on toy retainer with MC Chetney, Orym notices that someone followed them to the Spire by Fire. And it is the same person that they noticed from the theater that they lost, both Orym and Laudna.
We get an unrequested whisper.
I know. What is up with that? What the fuck is up with that?
So I think Matt's utilizing, because I think three members of our party have very high passive perception. Mm-hmm. So I think that's another way he's utilizing that as well, instead of just like telling the whole group, because that's what he used to do with Caduceus mm-hmm. and then eventually Caleb and Bo in the second campaign. This one was unrequested, but I think we had another whisper that was special, wasn't it?
Yeah, like he didn't roll for anything. He wasn't actively trying to find something or observe something or like insight check. Like Matt literally yeah. just got up from the table and was like,
and just whispered it to him. Yeah. So that one's our first unrequested, but mm-hmm. we've had like other special whispers. We had like a PvP whisper.
Yes.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I think it was like one more, but I'm not sure. We have to look back, folks, and we will.
In the archives.
We have archives now. We're at 8 episodes in. It's a new year. We have archives. Whispers is so true and traditional to this game, but we've now taken it one step further to where I just think it's another way of keeping this thing fresh.
I agree.
Like it's so good. I want to see what other ways, like I want to see other people using whispers. I want to see Matt just getting up, freaking the party out, whispering to, first of all, I think who would use this to their advantage the most would be Taliesin.
I think Taliesin and Liam. Like, I think equally. Yeah. I think at this point, yeah.
Liam's an ass when it comes to, like, he gets stuff, he gets information, he does not share it mm-hmm. whatsoever.
Yeah.
It's so funny. Because they'll be talking about something, mm-hmm. and Taliesin, though, will ask a very important question that everybody will be like, oh my God, yeah, I want to know that too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then Matt will just whisper to Taliesin at like another moment, and mm-hmm. Taliesin will be like, I knew it, and then not say a effing word until like 50 episodes later. Whereas you guys remember Liam, that whisper?
Yeah. Whereas Liam will be on his deathbed and be like, I had one whisper where Matt told me he was wearing a green cloak, and I'm like, that's what you were hiding this whole time, you son of a bitch. And then the pure joy he'll have.
That's so true. Like Taliesin will hide some, like, it's not necessary to survive, but it's one of those like whispers that'll blow your mind, and he'll just wait till that like sweet
moment. Right moment.
Liam will hide everything.
Yeah.
He's like, well, technically you're not here with me.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
You
yeah.
don't get to know, right?
And you'll never know.
What? You'll never know.
Just gatekeeps his own whisper knowledge. There's no point, bro.
So rude.
But I also love it.
It's so funny.
I love that for him.
I'm gonna torture my friends, and this is how I'm gonna do it.
I'm like, oh my God, I should be taking notes.
I could never. I'm a talker. I'll let people know things they shouldn't even know.
Oh, remember that thing that I got gifted and it's in my room at headquarters?
This is it.
I polished it the other day.
This is how I felt when I was 6 years old. You guys weren't there to see it, but this is how I felt.
This is amazing. Where I just make characters and I'm like, how many secrets can I have that the DM can use to hold over people?
Player.
How can I torture myself in the future with the secrets that I gave the DM?
Yeah, yeah.
That's me.
And I'm the player who's all like, well, guys, these are my secrets.
It's session zero. It's not even session one.
This is what has happened to me. This is how I feel.
Love it. I love it.
I don't like being a barrier to our quest.
And I feel like this is an empath versus an introvert, like 100%.
I just need to know if you guys are still okay with everything now that you know me.
Shelby, we haven't even picked the module we're doing yet.
I just want my party to be informed.
Playing a one-shot, Shelby.
So Aurum sees the person they were trying to follow earlier at the theater. And I just want to say that I love the whole sequence of getting this cloaked figure who's trying to be stealthy to come sit down with them. You have Laudna, who's making crazy eyes at them. You have Aurum gesturing for him waving to come up like he's an old friend. Like, what are you doing down there?
Yep.
And then you have Ashton booing him when he leaves. And Imogen saying, come on.
Yeah,
and
are you surprised that he left? Are you surprised?
Doesn't in there, you have Laudna messaging him. Not just
voices, yeah.
Yeah, not just with that, though. But the way she says what she says, she's like, where are you going? And so it just makes it so much worse. Imogen would
hurt you. Why would you point that out?
This is the worst way to try and get someone to come talk to you who obviously doesn't want to be spotted by you. What?
So, I mean, naturally, they're going to freak out and run away. But also, naturally, Chetney and Orm are going to follow you.
Oh, yeah. Rogue in the party. Rogue in the party. Rogue in the party.
Rogue in the party. So after a lot of hijinks and Chetney with a 25, which, quote, fuck 25.
I love to see it.
I love to see it. As a future rogue, I love to see it. So they're finally able to. Oh, no. He said fuck 25 to the fact that that's his walking speed because he's a gnome. His walking speed is 25 feet.
So. But it was still impressive the way he trailed.
Zoomed after him.
Stranger. Yeah. Still impressive.
So after like a few bad stealth rolls, Aurum just goes, come on, man. Try and get him. And I mean, it kind of works. Even though it was a 4. They find out that the Corsairs that they were following will talk to them. But they want to talk to the blue one. A.K.A. our boy, Dorian.
Yeah, and we find out that the cloaked figure who's with the Corsairs is
Cyrus, A.K.A. Dorian's brother, A.K.A. none of them can figure out what's the correct name because Dorian was so reluctant to give up that he's like, it's me, God. Dorian. Dorian Storm. I'm your brother, Dorian.
Trying to figure out how both of them have survived for so long just by the way that they were lying to their friend, or Dorian was lying to his friends. Yes, my name. Yes, Dorian. Dorian is my name.
Dorian.
Yes.
Dorm. Yeah.
What?
Well, they haven't done well on their own, have they? If you really think about it, because they've lived a sheltered life. So, I mean, like, as we come to learn, Cyrus has fucked up a multitude of ways. And Dorian's had some scuffles along the way, too.
Some slip-ups.
Yeah, so they have not thrived as individuals.
They haven't. They're trying. I'm trying to figure out how they're alive.
Yeah.
The misnomer here. How? Because it's not like out of the gate, Cyrus met up with the Corsairs and Dorian met up with this party. It wasn't like that. Mm-hmm. They were on their own for a little bit. And I'm just like, how were you not killed?
Yeah.
Also, at this moment, just want to point out the absurdity of after Cyrus goes, these are a strange bunch. Fern then goes, puts a straw in FCG's mouth.
Yeah.
And drinks out of it.
Drinks from right our traveling, after this. Our traveling drink koozie.
Yeah.
And then Dorian defends him. He's like, they're not weird. Just because they're different doesn't mean they're weird. And I was like, I love that for you, Dorian. That's the message we're teaching the children.
I love that too. But I'm visualizing this hurt me. I do not want myself to come across any art of this because I feel like it will scar me emotionally and it'll stay with me. That's something that I can't unsee.
Come back from.
Yeah. Like I already can't unhear it. Okay. So I don't, all my critters out there are art enthusiasts who are artists who see a scene in their head and beautifully
render. Yeah.
Render it for the rest of us. Please don't do this.
It's probably already happened. It's been 2 weeks. It's probably already happened.
I don't want it.
The critters move fast.
Do I need to block Fern drinking? Do I need to block straws? Do I need to block? I really hope I don't, because this is amazing. I really hope I don't have to block FCG flask, FCG mug, FCG
thermos.
Really hope I don't have to do that, but I will.
If I have to.
Yeah.
So Dorian and Cyrus have kind of a private conversation, which is a little heated, which I mean, like, okay, I am a middle child. I'd like to put that on the record. Shelby likes to say they're from Texas. I am a middle child. And mm-hmm. I totally get the idea of, like, I'm trying to do something different and it's my own thing. And Dorian was like, why the fuck are you now leaving and doing your own thing? That was my thing. Like, I 100% identified with Dorian in that moment of being like mad, both like unjustifiably so, because it's like, okay, Cyrus is allowed to do their own thing too, but being like, but that was my thing first. The like initial possessiveness of wanting it to be your own thing after living mm-hmm. in the shadow of somebody. So like I was seen in that moment and I was hurt. But I mean, after a bit of conversation, that feeling kind of dissipates. But I was like, I loved it because it felt so accurate in the moment for brothers. I'm a middle child.
I love that for you.
Thank you.
I really do. No, but Dorian was pissed mm-hmm. and he didn't really calm down until like they all went back to the spire by fire, sat down. Really loved how Dorian was like, I don't know if I can trust him. And then like later he was all like, oh, just, you know, tell us what's going on.
Yeah. Oh, also, this is my brother Cyrus. What up?
Yeah. This is him. This is me. This is us. Because it just like after the initial, I don't know if I could trust him. I think what happened was he got so angry. He forgot that he couldn't, like, he literally just met half of these folks mm-hmm. a few days ago. Like, he just forgot that fact.
He was like, let's just sit down
and just talk about this. Because I think he was getting on my nerves.
Yeah. He was more upset about Cyrus. And he was like, well, yeah, no, I love these people. Like, they're here for me. Like, I trust them. Now. Yeah.
Right. These are my people, you know? Yeah, yeah. So like,
don't steal that.
That's
too.
What happened. And we find out that, you know, Cyrus
has been up to a lot.
He left what, for like 7 months? More
I
than
believe
that?
Believe so. Yes. He left pretty much after Dorian left. And he was like, oh, okay. Also mm-hmm. like kind of being like, oh, he made a lot of references to like, well, our people are supposed to naturally kind of roam and do this stuff.
Other people did it. Our parents did it.
And they like,
this is normal.
I get that our parents wanted a better life for us and thought that we didn't need that, but like we need that. But then Cyrus just like steps in it left and right.
I wouldn't even say that. I would just say like he was doing that thing that kids do when they go off to college, when they've lived a pretty sheltered life, you know, like they party hard.
They take a job where they get framed for the job. Classic college hijinks.
Classic sheltered kid college hijinks, you know, they go buck wild because I was that kid. You know, I was sheltered my entire life. I had curfew. I had very strict parents, you know, so I didn't really get to do what I wanted to do until college. And so, of course, what did I do? It was hard. It was a hard freshman year, freshman year.
Very interesting, ooh, though, because I also had a shelter, like very sheltered, very like on the straight and narrow. Don't break rules. Not like very strict sort of like, here's my curfew. You can't do this. Like I had freshman year of college and I commuted and I was like in a different state. I didn't go crazy.
Oh my God. And you were just like, this isn't for me.
Correct. I was straight. I was also introverted. So like by the time weekends came, I was like, I don't want to hang out with you people again. I'm going to see you Monday. Like, I don't want this. I didn't drink until I was 21. I waited. Was it a steep learning curve? Yes.
Shit is wild, bro. I thought I had a steep learning curve just doing it at 18. Oh my God.
I stuck to my gun. I'm a very stubborn person for better and for worse. But Cyrus gives a recap of his motivations and adventures after leaving. There was an incident in Hellcatch Valley where mm-hmm. he joined after kind of coming into some money troubles. He joins this mercenary group to help deliver goods. Something goes awry, things are stolen, a stone golem is activated, and he then kind of finds out that this mercenary group that we're all in together to kind of double cross this job. And he ends up being the fall guy. And he's got a bounty of like 20,000 gold on his head.
Excuse me, sir. Why are you outside?
Should have taken Chetney's gold and put it towards the bounty.
First of all, you asked your brother if you could trust these people. He gave you an I don't know. And I know that you guys started talking about, you know, this stuff. But even I still would have been like, yeah, I'm in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
And I would have ended it there. You know, like people are looking for me. And yeah. I feel like the group would, because they didn't ask a lot of questions to Cyrus. Like the amount of questions.
They asked Chetney more questions.
More questions than, yeah. So he literally could have gotten away with, like, I'm in a little bit of trouble. People are looking for me.
Yeah.
And I think no one would have questioned that, you know, because you were involved in a crime and people are looking for you. That makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Him telling people that his brother has been hanging out with and clearly said, I don't know if I can trust him yet, telling them,
hey, what's up? I'm a wanted criminal. There's a
20K.
Yeah.
20K on my head.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, this would be one of the first instances where I'd be like, PvP is okay. Yeah. This right here.
I'm going to buy me a headquarters. Sorry, Dorian.
There's no way someone can tell me that in this instance, if someone were to initiate a fight right here, right now, there's no way you could tell me that it's like, this is like way beyond the parameters of D&D and cooperation and cooperative storytelling. Like you couldn't like, I'm sorry. This right here is where I'm like, I have now seen where PvP does not ruin the story, because there's no way in hell you can tell me that after meeting someone for like maybe a week, maybe 2 weeks, you tell me this man is sitting right here in front of me and he has 20K on his head.
Can you imagine that? If they all like look at each other and they're like, we want that gold, right? Could you imagine?
Bro!
Could you imagine if this was a majority, even just a chaotic neutral majority? Because I only, in my heart of hearts, I know Fern is definitely chaotic neutral.
Oh, yeah.
100%. Maybe she's chaotic good. There's some.
Yeah, she is very polite. She's just like creepy.
Yeah, she's misunderstood.
Yeah.
You say right, creepy, right, I say right, misunderstood. Like,
so creepy.
I don't know. Ashton is probably chaotic neutral, but there's also some.
He has too many, like.
He's got rules. His own moral code, though, too.
Dominic Toretto.
Yeah. He's
the Ur-Shanassi of Dominic Toretto. Like, he has a set of rules that he does not go against.
Yeah. Fresh cut grass, good aligned, obviously. Like.
Mm-hmm.
Orm, no way he could be chaotic neutral. Dorian, so like Fern is the only, and maybe Chetney now, the only ones who are true chaotic neutral. But could you imagine a party where like everyone was like, yeah, fuck this guy.
This would be a different result had it been the Mighty Nein.
Oh, 100%. 100%.
Like different result. Absolutely. For sure.
I feel like the Mighty Nein would be like, okay, what if we turn him in, get the money, and then rescue him?
Rescue him. Yes. That's exactly. They would be like, okay, we're going to turn you in, but sit tight. We'll break you out of jail later.
Yeah.
Because this is a corrupt system. So we don't really, you know.
Yeah.
We're not really from here.
Yeah. Yep.
Like, that's their excuse for a lot of stuff. Like, we're not really from here. So.
Oh, fuck. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, like, he kind of probes, like, oh, yeah, I have this going on. Chetney is like, well, don't forget you're on toy retainer, so don't even think about helping this guy out.
Right.
I've got you. But we also find out that the initials on with the Hellcatch Valley incident had on the crates JH, which major connections, major red flags, because Ashton's letter is signed by JH.
Did you remember that? Or was it Laura? You did? Because I completely forgot. I was like,
the fuck is that?
I was laughing so hard about the blacked out portion that he gave to Laura that I completely, to this day, I can't tell you right now what that letter. Well, obviously none of us know what it says because he didn't say it. But even what Laura like said out loud. I couldn't tell you what she said, but the fact that this man literally blacked out this letter, CIA version, highly classified this document, and Laura still found a connection there.
Yeah,
that's hilarious to me. Like, this man was trying to leave out any clues to connect anything, and Laura was still like,
yeah.
Sorry?
Just computer brained it. She did control S, signed F8.
She's so good. She's so clever. Like, I couldn't imagine being, like, artistically, like, that talented, and then still being, like, clever like that. That shit is wild.
I'll play sessions where they're like, Haley, this is a major plot point from the last time we played. And I'm like, who?
What?
I mean, I have an excuse that I play like a dumb cleric who with a negative intelligence, but I'm like, sometimes it's me forgetting. And I'm like, who? Who's that?
Like, you know, I'm yelling at the TV screen with my popcorn. Like, why don't you remember this? And like, I'll play. And I can't even like spell names right. And so I'm just like, no, I get it. There's a lot of... And when you're like at the table, you know, because you're trying to like role play your character,
but so, then like, also taking everything,
taking information.
Yeah,
I didn't realize how hard that was until you're at the table trying to do your accent and trying to remember like if this is gonna affect your backstory and
or the choice you're gonna make in like 30 minutes. Yeah.
But while still trying to remember what the DM is telling you about every NPC you've ever met.
In your entire life. So we actually finally get a little bit of Dorian backstory via Cyrus. They have a lot of clout within the Air Genasi community. They have a kind of roaming society called the Silken Squall, which is like a fancy tent city. And technically, they can be their... Prince is kind of like the closest title that's equivalent to like what they are within their community. So a noble background.
Boom. Oh, absolutely a noble background, even though they don't want to claim that. They're absolutely.
That is so also on brand for RP of like old money or old status. Like, oh, no. Like, we're not rich. And we're like, okay.
We're not.
Like, you have like five yachts, but okay.
It's not like we're kings or anything. We don't rule anyone.
And then you find out that they're dukes and you're like, same shit, bro. Like,
okay, come on. To poor people, this is the same thing. I don't have two coppers
to my name, but you want to split hairs.
It's like I'm sleeping on the floor right now. You're like, it's not a comfortable chair. Like, it's not a real throne. You know? There's a pillow there. Thrones don't have pillows. Duh.
Yeah, guys. We also learn about the Gold Guild of Treshi, which also has some
connection. In relation to the what was stolen, right?
Yes. We find out that Treshi is a family in Marquette and that they possibly have two guilds associated with them. Typically, a family will have one, but they can partner up with another family. So that's the case. And again, in the initials in Ashton's letters are the same as the JH that were on the crates. Ashton says it's a complicated story. Let's give it a day and maybe we'll explore it. That's the second time he said that about the letter. I heard you. And I am keeping notes.
Been more than a day, sir.
I'm keeping a log.
Been more than a day. This is the first time, like, in this episode that my theory thing, my, like, theory, like, starts going off because they start making connections about the guilds. In Drusar, because this isn't the first encounter we've had, because there was the, I think it was the like Mason Guild, who were the ones that were doing construction in the alley
where they were attacked
by the wall mimic, and Chetney is trying to get in touch with some guilds to find some work.
Yes. Well, I mean, you can tie into the fact that the anger is attached to a family as well. So like, we're starting to get a lot more of like the social structure and the like the municipal structure of Marquette.
Who's running what?
Who are the shot callers?
Yes, because I think the people who were attacked, they're part of the families who are just rich. I'm not sure if they're part of any like guild, whereas the Treshies are probably rich because they're associated with or run a guild. You know what I'm saying?
I thought that they were, though. I could be wrong, but I thought that they were. I just don't know if we knew what guild. Like, I don't know if this is a society.
The Lumos brothers?
Yeah. I don't know if this is a family. Yeah, a society where, like, the noble and wealthy class is the merchant, quote-unquote, class.
Okay,
yeah.
It could be.
That's the vibe
because
I'm getting.
It's very industrial in this city. Very, what can we do to move forward?
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, how much money can we make from moving forward? Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it very well could be. Very well could be. We don't know about the Lumos family yet to know if they're not involved with something. Because they could be. Absolutely. Also, just want to point out that at the end of the night, when Cyrus leaves, the group decides that it's safe enough for Dorian to leave with Cyrus alone.
Yeah, and a party member previously went out into the night alone and died with their dick out.
I'm trying to figure out, like, how does no one, because they were like, well, there's two people here, and I'm like, okay, cool, but there's not two people for the entire trip
on the way back.
Like, this is a round trip. even if you send the sending stone, like, he could be miles away from you. And you won't get there in time. You guys are level 4.
Yep.
It could, all it takes is one round to kill someone right now.
Not only that, Dorian gives the stone to Cyrus.
Ugh.
Unless I'm missing it in my notes, Dorian never told the group that he gave the stone to Cyrus.
Nope.
So.
But even then, that long walk back without the one thing they gave you to alert them that's God. And it's just like, you could feel that they then realized how bad they messed up when Matt went into his description, and I was like, this is what you deserve. If something happens right now, this is what you deserve. Okay, because this was a bad idea from the get-go. Matt is merciful. Okay, the next time Matt kills someone, I need to remember this night. That's what I need to do. I need to remember this moment in the session when they were like, yeah, it's cool, someone just died, you can walk alone while you look like your brother who has a 20,000 gold bounty on his head.
I just love that there's gonna be a moment where, like, you're like, Matt, why are you doing this? And you have to remember, like, oh my god, this is his Thanos moment where everything is balanced. He let Dorian live that night, and now he's got to take something.
He has to. And you know what? He's okay. He's absolutely right.
It's allowed. This allowed it.
From this moment, he has to snap his fingers.
He has one free snap.
He does. Haley, he does.
Like a punch card.
We just have to remember it. I don't know if we will, but we have to remember.
We can't get indignant about it.
Absolutely not. We got to let it go.
Yep.
We got to let it go.
So they have a successful long rest after, by the grace of Matt Mercer, Dorian returns unscathed to the group. They put most thoughts of Cyrus out of their head and decide that they're going to try and help Chetney out. They are on toy retainer, so they're going to try and help Chetney out and find his friend Gurge.
They head to the Smolder Spire where Gurge lives, and this is a new place for us that we're heading to. Ooh, cable
before
cars.
They leave, though. Yeah, but before they get to your favorite mode of transportation,
I'm so sorry. Why did I forget this? Because this was the second. Woo, 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 woo. So we have to cover this. Sorry, I got it so excited about the cable cars.
That's fine. It's been a while, and you're allowed to be in a place of need for cable cars.
Thank you.
So on their way out in the tavern, they kind of overhear a group of patrons saying, if we don't do anything, we'll have to leave. And that kind of, like, stops them before heading out. And then they see on a job board something about a flyer complaining about the Corsairs and that there is the Paragon's Call, which is a mercenary group in Hellcatch Valley. And this is where we also just keep confirming that Ashton is their crime consultant. He's got all of the kind of information they need for the shady underbelly mm-hmm. of Marquette. And also mm-hmm. made me think, does Ashton, he knows about how bounties work. Does Ashton have bounties on his head? He's got
he debt. Said he did.
He's got debt. He's got bounties. But how bad are they?
Yeah, we don't know how bad they are, but he did say that he has bounty on.
He's had
bounties on him. And then when asked if he had one right now, he said, I could have one.
Who knows? Yeah.
So yeah. So
I'm not very good at my like bookkeeping. Yeah.
Yeah. No, it was that's why he said it so that we wouldn't get any real information from that.
Yeah. That was a tactical talisman mm-hmm. maneuver.
Absolutely. So he absolutely has a bounty on his head.
Yeah, currently. Now.
So this is the second time my woo 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 gotta find a better sound. Maybe we need to get a sound. We need to get a sound effect for this. Okay, because this is when my theory started popping out. Because when we were first introduced to the Corsairs, right? We were introduced to them as Robin Hood-like
organization.
Organization, right?
Yes.
So now we get this flyer that is essentially blaming them, for all the like attacks mm-hmm. and like crime that's going on in the city.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And there is on the flyer, there is a call for the
Shande Quorum.
A call for the Shande Quorum to give authority and power to the Paragon's call to come in and help the wardens
mm-hmm. take down the Corsairs. Yeah.
Take down the Corsairs, sort this out.
Law and order.
Basically. Mm-hmm. Now I'm thinking that this is a ploy from high society, from rich people. Okay, stay with me.
Here.
If the Corsairs go after people who have money, right? It would be a problem for high society, for the people who have the means, right?
Mm-hmm.
But if they're doing that, public opinion of them wouldn't be bad.
Mm-hmm.
So to turn public opinion, yes, against the Huguenot Corsairs,
mm-hmm.
right?
I think this is also classic Matt, though, where he's like, I have several different big kind of players in the game that you can align yourself with. Everyone is the right choice and everyone is the wrong choice.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, okay. So I feel like yours would probably be better. Maybe he gave them a neutral party in Lord Esteros, mm-hmm. AKA Old Batman,
mm-hmm.
to find out the truth for themselves.
A true neutral sort of like a lot, like moral compass to be like,
because Lord Esteros is by himself. He's not like, he's rich, but he's not with,
mm-hmm.
you know, the government body or with like the society Corsairs, because he's a reclusive, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So like, maybe this is like him saying like, you figure out what's the truth behind this. Cause it's the center point.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's the rich people, reaching.
I totally agree. That's a totally plausible
the attacks,
mm-hmm.
the like what we learn further down in the episode, like all these things, like people not feeling safe mm-hmm. or not feeling like the Shande Quorum is doing enough
mm-hmm.
is the rich people trying to force, first of all, like the quorum that they don't have in their pockets, trying to force them into like calling Paragon's call, who's mm-hmm. essentially a mercenary group who goes to the highest bidder.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Calling them in to put a stop to the Corsairs because they know that if they give them enough money, you know, they're going to have our backs no matter what.
Mm-hmm. No, so I agree. It could be that.
Because, I mean, it could be because we're first introduced to the Corsairs as like, they're a crime group, but they're a crime group who go after rich people.
I also just love, as both a player and like a DM style, to be like, this is a true sandbox. I like as a player and as a DM style, though, like, okay, this is a true sandbox. Like, every option is a good option. Every option is a bad option. You're going to mm-hmm. suck up somewhere no matter what. So you need to like sometimes players are so smart that they like hold themselves up because they're so indecisive because they're trying to find the right answer.
Yeah,
I love when a DM gives them like everything's right and everything's wrong. So like either way, you have to fucking choose.
I love it. I like having a clear, concise, I am the good guy here.
I love it.
Oh, I get so tied up when I make a decision in a video game and it turns out for
mentally,
the worst.
Mentally in my head, I do too. But like as a player, it kind of almost gives me like a peace of mind of like, okay, well, everything is right and everything is wrong. So no matter what I choose, it's going to be fine.
Yeah.
And terrible at the same time. So like, okay.
I can see that. I'm over here second guessing everything.
It makes it easier for that leap of faith of like, well, fuck it. This was my gut reaction. I'm doing this. Guys, we're here. We did it. We're at the cable car.
Finally
reunited, and it feels so good. Imogen admits that maybe they don't have a fear of heights, but they just don't like being in cable cars. So what does Fern immediately fucking do when she gets in the cable car? She starts to rocket back and forth. Okay, cool, Fern. I loved it, but at the same time, god damn it, Fern.
Not okay.
But then like, FCG
I would be
calm emotions and like
yeah
helps out. So that was kind of cute.
I would be eternally forever afraid from now on that if I admit a fear to Fern, she's gonna somehow use it
against you.
Like, yes.
This was fun. Fun for who?
I'm traumatized.
Yeah.
What?
I'm glad you had fun.
Thanks. Yeah. Guess they do pranks differently in the Feywild. Like you have to be emotionally scarred for the prank to be a success.
Yeah. So the group on Toy Retainer want to see if they can find any leads to find out about Gurge's disappearance for their new friend, and I use that loosely, Chetney. And they explore his last place of residence, which was a kind of room that he was renting out in more of like an industrial
home.
It was a home, but it was like a room. It was like a studio apartment.
Okay. In Airbnb studio
type deal apartment. Yeah,
mm-hmm. Yeah. Right,
they do find that the place was tossed, but there's no evidence of shade creeper holes, which is the group just being like, immediately we're in a new place and it's been tossed, were there shade creepers here? Because we also have that, we have moving furniture we have to always remember, and mm-hmm. these shade creepers that we always have to now remember.
Put it on the list.
Yep,
just put it on the list,
always check.
Oh, also we didn't even mention the fact that we came across the locked door
and we picked it
okay with ease. And folks, if you're wondering why this episode was only 3 hours, that's because a whole hour was cut because we got through the locked door. Yeah. That's why.
Fuck you, doors. Fuck you.
Full hearts, clear eyes,
it's a row.
Yep.
The landlady Siroc kind of comes in and in true landlord fashion is more upset that her rent hasn't been paid and that her apartment has been tossed and that someone's missing. And if that doesn't scream relatable about landlords in this climate, I don't know what does. Honestly,
we're telling you we haven't seen our friend in days. And
then they also find a bit of blood. And she's
she might not know that. She might not know about the blood, but she,
I'm
she does know.
I'm against this landlady.
Like the place.
I don't care.
No, I'm not. It's not for her. I'm saying like how awful she is. Like this place is a wreck.
Yeah.
Our friend is missing, and she's like, "Well, who's gonna pay rent?" Okay, Siroc, you are unenjoyable right now.
Named after a vodka. Get out of here.
Yeah.
This is Whiskey Reacts, ma'am. Get out of here.
Yeah. Get out of here. We don't do vodka here.
So they found like we find some blood, not a lot. And because Fern at one point had been a dire wolf in wild shape, was like, can I scent this blood and figure out what happened? Because there was also supposedly a dire wolf attack in the neighborhood.
And oh, no, like, but Siroc gave us all the info. Like,
I
mean, landlady.
Fuck Siroc.
Yes, but she gave us all the hot goss.
I mean, like, accurate, she did, but like, fuck Siroc.
It was.
I'm Team Ashton on this. Fuck Siroc.
No, he's absolutely right about this. There was a dire wolf attack, burglaries, the explosion at the core, which might be the time they were attacked with the furniture. And then couldn't tell what this was. Was it hauntings or huntings?
Both.
Both? It was both.
Okay. All of the above.
Okay. So Ciroc gave us all the hot goss on what's happening, which adds more to the flyer and people feeling unsafe here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to me, yeah. Adds more to my theories.
Oh, this, yeah, definitely.
This feels like a lot for mm-hmm. one organization. Sorry. But it does. This feels like people with resources
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
trying to frame someone else.
Yeah.
It feels all over the map, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Like, first, there's big ass wolves, and then people are breaking into our homes, and now like furniture is attacking us. Like, there's
you
no
got stained creepers. He's got, yeah.
Yeah, there's no theme to this. The shade creepers, I think, are by themselves a whole
creepy nightmare.
Unholy entity that's preying upon a city that's about to like that's like in this purposes of chaos.
I feel like the shade creepers is the real threat, but people like no one's noticing yes. it because they're all dealing with all of this like orchestrated bullshit,
corruption.
Yeah.
Rich against corsairs.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
The Ivory Syndicate just doing whatever they want.
Yeah.
You know? No. So
also like all this fucking intrigue. God damn. Mm-hmm, episode 8. Mm-hmm. It's episode 8.
Right. Again, you guys, this feels like a lot.
There's so much.
We're so only much. Level 4. This
there were only feels like a four. Lot. We're two individuals reacting to a podcast on episode 8 of a new campaign. This is a lot.
This is a lot right now.
So you know
someone's
what?
Already died.
I'm gonna focus on the task at hand. They decide to venture out and find some wardens to be like, yo, what happened with these direwolf attacks? And mm-hmm. with the new game-breaking flavor, detect thoughts and all this goddamn mind reading.
I love it. I need them to do this all the time. I
that
need
just
them
puts to more pressure on, this yeah, stuff. For Matt to be like, I gotta find ways around this. God damn it.
So good.
It's they so had good. Polymorph even, last campaign of like Caleb yeah. not dying. This is their polymorph like loophole.
Yeah.
Instead of being like, I don't ask like, questions. What the fuck are they thinking?
Because the thing is, all you have to do is ask somebody a suspicious question and then already you know the answer. Because it's because you don't have to roll if it's just already at the top of their mind. Mm-hmm. So just ask them the relevant questions and then boom.
Yep.
Let's go. We're in there.
Yeah, we find the two wardens that they're talking to are kind of sketchy about the questions in regard to Gurge and where that individual went. So the wardens, in true like middle management fashion.
Yeah.
I got to check with the manager. I can't deal with this. This is both my yeah. So they're like, instead of answering the questions, they're like, we're going to ask our manager. We're going to check in the back if we have that. It's not there. And then Fern's like, again, in true Fern fashion, I'm going to do my own thing. This bitch wild shapes into a rat, breaks into the factory to go mm-hmm. spy on these wardens as they check in with their boss. Okay. Again, going solo. And the rest of the group is like, goodbye, Fern. This was the right choice. This is the first kind of major thing where Fern is like, I'm going to do this. And then everyone's like, oh, fuck. Turned into a rat. Snuck into the factory. She does find out some pretty important information. So there's the warden middle manager that they go and talk to. And the two wardens that were originally being questioned kind of describe the group, which is also funny to see them all react to like how they were being described by this warden. Be like, there's a robot who talks and this blue guy and a weirdo. And like, and they're all like,
and yeah. a nightmare of a woman.
Yeah. And she's like, yes.
Which yeah. Lana will be described as such for forever. The rest of the campaign.
Yeah. But then the middle manager warden is pretty much like, okay, why is this group of weirdos asking questions about Gurge? So he knows who this person is. He's like, what do they know? You know what? Never mind. Just tell them that Gurge has been arrested somewhere. We'll make this shit up. I'll take care of the rest. Conspiracy. Classic conspiracy.
Yes.
Cover up institutional bullshit.
My conspiracy theory thing. It's going off.
Hopping. Yeah, so then as the two wardens are going to go leave and report back to our lovable weirdos, Ratfern takes damage.
Ratfern?
Yeah, it's official. Can we
please call her Ratfern?
Anytime Fern wild shapes into something, it's like Snake Fern, Ratfern, Hola Fern.
But you know what Ratfern reminds me of?
What?
Like, isn't it Mr. Ratburn from Arthur? Isn't that what his name was? Ratburn?
Yeah.
That's what it reminds me of. Ratfern.
I love it. So Ratfern takes damage when the door opens, drops her wild shape form, and immediately shifts back into like this 6-foot fucking fey creature.
I forgot she's tall. Like she's tall with like
big.
A huge bosom.
She big and she thick. Like and just staring at them. And then we're left with the image of this middle management warden creeping over his desk looking at Fern. And that ends the session. This, I say with full confidence, is karma for Fern rocking the cable car and fucking with Imogen. This is what you get. This is what you get when you are chaotic.
No, it's not. It's not, because now the whole party is messed up because she came with it. So this isn't just on Fern. This isn't just karma for Fern. They're all in trouble.
Oh, yeah. They're all in trouble.
As associates.
Letting this go.
Can't wait.
I like how Ashley's like, don't worry, I have a plan. And immediately my brain was like, it's Fern. Her plan is murder. She's going to just murder these three and then try to walk out of the factory.
It's like burning hands.
Happened. Yeah.
It's burning. Burning hands is the plan.
Yeah.
And it's bad. This is bad.
It's not going to work. Like,
no matter how you slice this.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. This is bad. We have a couple of charismatic players in the group, but
not in the room with her.
It would be a completely different story if she was just listening in a conversation she wasn't supposed to. You're listening into a conversation that is top secret. They're breaking laws apparently, probably. So now anyone who knows, like, this is automatically like, nah, we gotta get rid of you because you now know our secret.
And the group has no idea where she is. They have no idea that this has happened to her.
Because it's a factory, right? It's a factory.
And the only thing they can kind of like try and shoehorn their way in is be like, oh, Fern's been gone a while. We should check on her. That's the only kind of like, and even then it's kind of like, you did this to yourselves. What do you think is going to happen? I genuinely think Ashley's plan is violence.
Oh, yeah. Come on.
100%.
Come on. Listen, it's gonna be that weird thing of where she's like, well, I tried to talk my way out of it, but her way of trying to talk her way out of it is, let me leave or I burn you all alive.
Kill you.
Yeah. That's her way of talking.
Okay, so if that doesn't work, do you think Fern could possibly die? She's alone in a 3v1 situation if it results to combat.
This is a dangerous situation because these are dirty cops.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
they don't have dirty body cops cams.
Listen, they're the most dangerous. They're the ones you have to watch out for. So I feel like what goes in their favor a little bit is that they are like, they're under the take. So if it starts off with violence, what's up? Let's go. We just need to get to Fern quick.
Yeah,
and set this bitch off. That's what Ashley we need to
needs
do.
A non-Ashley initiative role.
Set it off.
A non-Pike initiative
role. Oh my goodness.
Could you imagine? It ends in combat or it starts in combat. And then Ashley rolls.
No, she's first, like, no.
She's the fourth.
It's them asking her questions because first they need to know what she knows.
No,
like, what do you know of our operation? But she's going to go, well, how about this? Let me go, I burn you alive, and then it's initiative, and then it's like real funny because you just threatened them, and
then you're, now last, you're the last, you're the fourth person in a four-person combat situation.
Yeah, hey, I think that's it's gonna go down because, like, they have to know how much you know and how much your friends know before they kill you. This is their, like, in every single movie, it's like, we are going to kill you, but first we have to know how much you know of our dirty plan.
Yeah, but that makes no sense. If you're going to try and kill them, like, I would just no. I'm going to kill you.
No, because then they need to know who else they need to kill. Just Fern, they can just kill Fern and be like, hey, she lie and say she started it. We were just defending ourselves.
She can also,
like, classic dirty cop move.
She can also be like, well, I do have a way of that everyone just heard what you said, so other people know. Mm-hmm. So even if you kill me, this is true.
Like this is her, like, saving grace. Like, they have to find out what she knows and mm-hmm. what they know, because they're the ones that started asking suspicious questions. They started mm-hmm. asking about Gurge. Yep. And so now they're like, we need to figure out what these people know, what they've told other people. So they're going to start asking her questions first. But, like, my fear is that immediately,
like, Fern is like, I know that I have burning hands.
Yeah.
That's the only prediction I have for this upcoming episode.
Same. There's just, like, there's so much.
So much going on.
Yeah, because I feel like even if we get a whole 4-hour episode, you know, because they come across some more, like, doors that for some reason Chetney can't unlock, I feel like we still won't get to, like, the conclusion of, like, what exactly is going on.
Yeah.
Because I feel like there's so much going on.
So many threads right now.
Right now? Yeah. I feel like for the new year, for our new year, our new episode in the new year,
mm-hmm.
I believe that Chetney is going to steal something.
Okay.
Fern is going to steal something.
Definitely.
We're going to get another cable car scene.
Well, yeah, because they have to get back to the Spire by Fire.
Absolutely. You love to see it. You love to see it. No more bridge. No more bridge.
It's the Cheers bar. It's Central Perk from Friends.
It's a fight. It's a fight too. So they have to go. They'll update Batman, Esteros, mm-hmm. and then they'll go back to Spire by Fire.
Yeah. Shelby, it's 2022. Are you still team Imogen and Laudna in the new year?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Forever.
The only ship that I have is a rival ship from this episode, and that's Dorian and Chetney.
Oh my god.
We finally have, like, a true rival, because we were grasping at straws, but we finally have a true kind of, like,
we're grasping at straws now because, like, they don't know each other. I still feel like
we were making up shit with Ashton and Orym.
No, I don't think so. I think Orym and Ashton are going to get to a point where they're like,
eventually,
we do not agree.
Yeah, but I mean, we finally have right in front of us, even if it's just, like, in the moment, we are being fed on the rival ship with Dorian and Chetney.
The whole, what did he say? He was like, you look like a Dorian. And he's like, well, joke's on you.
Bitch.
I was like, whenever someone insults me.
That was a power move. That was a power move.
I'm just going to be like, well, joke's on you, even if it doesn't make sense. Oh, I put platonic ship that I would like to point out is FCG and Imogen Cyrus.
That was a cute little moment. If you did a cute.
It was two.
Yeah, they had a few cute moments.
Because Cyrus was all like, can you not get inside my head? And Chetney was like, yeah, don't do that. And you could tell, like, Imogen was a little, you know, put down by it, because it's just like, it's something she does and then something she can't help sometimes. Mm-hmm. And she's been, obviously, she's, you know, been made like an outsider because of it. So, you know, you can see that, like, that's what she was feeling like, oh. And then SCG's like, whoa, okay, she can't help it sometimes, like, back off. Right, she's
true.
Unique in that way. And then the calming moment in the cable car, mm-hmm. I really like that.
I liked it. It was cute.
They're two nice people,
yeah,
who are, like, nice to each other, and mm-hmm. you love to see it, because, like, Imogen has to be, like, pure of heart to be best friends with Laudna. I love Laudna, but
Laudna's pure of heart. That's also just my perspective. All right, folks. Thanks for joining us today. We can't wait to see you next time as we fumble our way through this process.
We hope you join us next time for episode 9 of Critical Role. Remember to follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Whiskey Reacts.
Whether you like it neat, we like our stories on the rocks. So join us next time on Whiskey Reacts.
Forever. Do I sound like Smalls?
No, I didn't like it.
No? Okay, hold on. Forever. No, that was croaky. It was croaky.
A frog voice.
Hold on. What did he do?
Forever.
Okay. Forever.